When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Zach Clinton, Vice President of the AACC and co-host here at LLFF, along with my dad, Dr. Tim. Thank you for joining us today. Today's topic is a sensitive one, but one that I believe needs to be discussed and talked about a lot more. Today, we'll be talking about the mental health disaster our world finds itself in, as well as the heavy and heartbreaking topic of suicide. Our special guest is an author, speaker, a Christian content creator, and the founder of Stay Here, a mental health organization that raises awareness through bold and encouraging messaging and equips others to save lives from suicide. With more than 1.4 million social media followers, our guest is known for offering tangible hope and help for the brokenhearted and hurting. He and his wife, Mariah, have four daughters and live in East Tennessee. Joining us today is Jacob Coyne. Jacob, it's a delight to have you, my friend.
Thank you, Zach. I'm glad to finally meet you and be here today.
Absolutely, brothers. We get started. I honestly just want to dive right in because I believe today's topic is something that both of us are incredibly passionate about. I've been grateful to the Lord that I've had the opportunity of working in this mental health space, really soul care space, for the last several years and really grew up in it my entire life. And one thing I've learned is that mental health does not discriminate. No one's a stranger to the inevitable challenges that we all face in this life. That being said, though, Jacob, I've read quite a bit about your own personal testimony and some of the struggles you faced in your early years, as well as some of the losses you've endured throughout life. I'd love for you to acquaint our listeners with a better understanding just where this heart for mental health care and suicide prevention really comes from for you personally.
Yeah, it hit me really hard over the last couple of years. It really started with losing my uncle Greg Sweet to suicide in 2015. That was heartbreaking for me and my entire family because Greg and my dad led me to Jesus. I was a crazy rebellious teenager, and my dad and my uncle Greg went to this men's Bible study, and they were so different. After just one time going to this Bible study, they got so set free. They got filled with the Holy Spirit and just started following Jesus with all their hearts. But as Greg started to follow Jesus, he also started to get worse and worse with Parkinson's disease. And then it got to a point where he just wasn't the same person. His brain, everything about him was just not the same. So he ended up taking his life 6 years into battling Parkinson's disease. And it was just heartbreaking for our family, our church, our community. He was well known around the world too for being such a great entrepreneur with kettle corn business and stuff. He was just a larger than life kind of guy. And to lose someone like that to suicide, it just shatters you. Greg wasn't the only person. When I was a teacher at a Christian private school, there were students even in the Christian private school that were battling with self-harm and suicidal ideation. And then I personally lost a stepbrother to a drug overdose. And my wife and I have dealt with miscarriages. So it just feels like we've been so surrounded with grief and loss. And I got to a place where I'm like, man, I need help now. And that's what got us to really want to start Stay Here, was the fact that as a Christian, as a pastor, as a communicator of the gospel, I began to feel shame around wanting to get help. And then when I finally wanted to get help, it was so difficult to actually find the right avenue of help for me, to find a good therapist, a good Christian counselor. Man, it was difficult. So, you know, I realized there's probably millions of people all around the world dealing with this. And then finally, the last straw for us was I lost a friend of mine. You probably know Zach, named Jared Wilson. He was a pastor, and he took his life on September 10th. 2019 now.
Oh man, Jacob, I do remember him, bro. Jared was serving at Harvest Christian Fellowship Church in Southern California under our friend Greg Laurie. And I think that shocked a lot of people, but more importantly, man, it really tore a lot of people up.
That was it for me. I'm like, if pastors are taking their lives, it's time to do something. So I just started doing as much research as I could. And I began to understand that suicide is completely preventable. We're just not talking about it enough. So really, I started Stay Here out of a place of pain. And now it's become our family's purpose. And man, over the last 4 years of doing this, we've been able to save so many lives. So I'm so grateful that I didn't run from the pain. I didn't avoid the pain. I just dove right into it. And God's really helped me find purpose and bring purpose to thousands of people all across the world now.
Amen, brother. It's amazing that we get the opportunity of serving a God who can repurpose our pain and turn it into something good. I appreciate just your vulnerability and sharing your testimony. I can hear it in your voice, how much this matters to you, how much you care. Recently, CDC reported 57% of our girls have reported showing symptoms of depression. 30% of our girls, our daughters, Jacob, are seriously considering suicide. Now, suicide has become the second leading cause of death for adolescents and young adults. My friend, this is some heartbreaking stuff, but this is very real. Jacob, why do you think, or what are some catalysts really, that have kind of enhanced all of our mental health challenges during the last several years, but ultimately led people to believe that this world would be better off without them?
You know, my opinion, first and foremost, is social media. Gen Z is spending on average about 8 hours a day watching video content. And, you know, we're even seeing not just those statistics, but I just read a statistic that 33% of Gen Z now identifies as LGBTQ. And I'm a millennial. In our generation, I think it was like less than 3%. So that's a massive shift. And I know that that's just because of social media and the media that we're watching. It's just everywhere. It's on TikTok, it's on Instagram, it's on Snapchat, it's on the television, the music videos that we're watching. There are so many ideas. I mean, you log on to TikTok and some of the biggest content creators on TikTok have told their followers that they're about to take their life, and they end up doing it. This has happened multiple times since 2020. And, you know, we see a ripple effect. When one person does it, then multiple people do it. When I was a teacher, there was a student who took his life at one of the local schools, and then three more did it that year. So four suicides in 1 year because it started with one student, and the others that took their lives were close to that one student. Think about the effect now with social media. I mean, if one person does it that's well known and it's amplified, and then they start to receive love and praise and adoration, you look at the comments and it says, "Fly high, brother. Proud of you. You did what you needed to do. You know, we don't shame you for it." I think a lot of people think, well, I'm going to receive that same praise and adoration too. that I'm not receiving right now. And it's such a sick and twisted thing, you know, what happens to our minds with social media. So I think that's number one. And I think number two, it's the lack of purpose. What am I doing here on this planet? What am I alive for? Who am I serving? I think if we don't have a strong sense of our purpose, why God put us on this planet and what we're supposed to do with our life, it's so difficult to continue to keep living. It's something that Viktor Frankl talked about when he was surviving the Holocaust. He knew that if he continues to remember his purpose, why he's here, who he is, before he had no hair, before they shaved his head, they put a number on him. No, he has a name. He has a purpose. He's a doctor. He has so many people to continue to serve. He has a family to find. And I think that that purpose is what drove him to survive. He believed that that's the reason why so many people end up ending their lives is because they're purposeless. So, you know, I think that those are some of the two biggest factors that I personally see is if you make one mistake, people are just like, well, why shouldn't I just end it all? Because I have nothing to live for anyways. So we've got to do better as believers. Number one, if Gen Z, if people are on social media, we need to get Christian content where they're at. And then we need to encourage people to find community, to get off their phones and get into community, because that's where you find your purpose.
Amen, brother. I love what you're saying, especially with the technology and different things. We see it all the time in the Gen Z. Just the generational piece of we're the most digitally connected generation, the most relationally disconnected generation. And like you said, why I love the content that you're pushing out is because it is so hope-filled and hope-focused. And that's what kids need. If they're going to be watching and scrolling aimlessly on Instagram, make it be purposeful content. And that's what you do, brother. So I appreciate you doing that. That being said, I've heard it. So there are lots of people that are suicidal. It isn't that they hate life, Jacob. Is that they hate life the way that it is, right? They've come to this point of brokenness where it seems so difficult or at times impossible to see an opportunity for change or a brighter tomorrow. You see, suicide can often be in response to a very crisis-like situation. People act out of impulsivity, or it can be a long, drawn-out process of rumination, which is the inability to turn one's mind off, where people are consistently focusing and dwelling on the negative internal beliefs they've formed over time about themselves. But regardless, the heartbreaking reality and commonality is that some people get to this point where they actually believe the world would be better off without them. And the truth is that there's probably no issue that brings more fear or alarm to a parent, and I'll even add counselors and pastors, than the issue of suicide, because not only is it a delicate topic, but I think too many people believe the old myth that if you bring this topic of suicide to someone's attention, then you'll somehow create this mindset or instill the idea of suicide within that individual. But that's the furthest thing from the truth. Jacob, speak to the importance for a moment on why it's necessary to have these types of conversations and really how relieving it can actually be for those struggling with suicidal ideation to be seen, heard, and loved through these meaningful and imperative talks.
Yeah, well, first of all, like, let's just start with statistics. The CDC states that 4 out of 5 people, if you talk to them about this topic, if they are battling with suicidal thoughts or ideation, if you bring up the topic of suicide, it actually helps them and they're going to open up to you and confess that that's something that they're dealing with. And then those 4 people are going to actually, out of 5 people, are going to want to get help and allow you to help them get help. That's huge.
Yeah, that's huge.
Right then and there. That's huge. And then, you know, for me, this is the biggest part about our ministry with Stay Here is we want to create safe spaces for people to open up about dealing with suicidal thoughts. There's so much shame about dealing with suicidal thoughts, but it starts with temptation. You know, it doesn't come from God. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, right? I think we need to just remove that shame. I mean, even in the Bible, Elijah is battling with suicidal thoughts. Job is wishing that he was miscarried. These are thoughts that are circulating so many incredible people. But when we confess them and bring them to the surface, that's when we heal. You can't heal from things that you hide. And it's really heavy for me. Like, the conviction of this comes from not just the stats, not just the Bible verses, but personally, I had multiple dreams about my friend Jared before he took his life. And in these dreams, he was drowning. He was drowning while he was acting normal, though. He was drowning while we were just walking on a beach, and there was a big bubble of water circulating around his face, and he's just drinking this water in while he's talking. And I noticed that he's drowning. And in the dream, I just say, "Jared, you're drowning. I need to help you." And he's like, "No, it's fine. Let me pray for you. Let me help you. How can I serve you today, Jacob?" I thought it's going to make the drowning worse. It's going to push him over the edge. And maybe he is going to fall into a deeper anxiety. Maybe I'm going to hurt his feelings. And maybe I'm going to press a button. Maybe I'm going to put a suicidal thought in his mind. I don't want to be responsible for that. But that's a myth. That's a lie. It's the furthest thing from the truth. If you bring up this topic, it allows people to confess the truth. And when it's brought to the light, that's when God can come in, and that's when help can come in. That's when, you know, when we know more about somebody, we can better serve them. I've been afraid to tell the truth about how I'm really doing because I'm known as a happy person. I'm known as a leader. But man, every time that I've opened up to people, every time I've opened up to groups of people, hey, I'm actually not doing okay, guys. I need prayer. I need help. It doesn't just help me, but it helps the whole group. It helps everyone else in the room. There's been times where people were so shocked that I opened up that their whole rest of like this small group that I was in, it was all just confession of how people are really doing. And so much healing took place because I started it. And it was so, my heart's pounding, my heart's beating. I'm so afraid to tell that I'm not okay, that I'm sad. Isn't it crazy how we're so afraid to confess things like that? But man, it's always been good. I've never had a bad experience telling the truth.
I tell you what, Jacob, what's fascinating is that we live in a culture and society that equates brokenness with embarrassment and humiliation. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the shame that so many of us feel. It's embarrassing, right? We all know the quote, "It's okay to not be okay," but it's so hard for us to actually grasp and actually believe in our own personal lives. But I believe that when we do that, right, that there is strength in vulnerability. There is strength in community. There's strength in numbers, right? When we bring people inside of our pain and we allow them to walk alongside of us through it, that's when I think good things can begin to happen. I'm interested, Jacob, because you're a dad of four girls, four daughters. There's a lot of parents who are going to be listening to this radio program today that maybe love what we're talking about. Although it's sensitive, they know it's imperative, but maybe they're starting to recognize some signs and symptoms of some mental health challenges within their kids. What's some just sage wisdom and advice you would offer them about attuning themselves and becoming more aware to those challenges in their kids' lives?
There's been times where our kids have battled with things. I mean, we've got an 8-year-old, 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and then a 4-month-old. So, right. But you know, the 8-year-old and the 4-year-old, they've dealt with anxiety. They've dealt with some mental health issues. They've gone through 2020. You know, what's going on? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to wear these masks? What's going on, mom and dad? And they've dealt with loss. So how do we overcome that? Well, one thing that my wife and I do very intentionally is we make sure that we have at least one meal a day together as a family. So that's for us, that's dinner. I mean, we're always at the table and we talk with our kids about their day. We talk about the highs, the lows. What was the biggest challenge you overcame? God is also their father. God is also their parent, and he's a good one. And he can help carry the weight that we carry. I know it's burdensome. I know it's hard. We worry about our children, but God is such a good father, and he's so able to complete the work that he started in our kids. And then also, you know, our rule for our house is going to be no social media for a long time. And we're very careful about the media that we let our kids watch. Because our minds are sponges, you know, and I think that so many ideas can just get planted into our kids' minds. That's a huge thing in our house. And those things have really helped our kids. And then lastly, man, get your kids in good community. My kids love our church so much. And I know that so much of our children's growth, personal growth and peace and just internal peace comes from what they experience in our church. It comes from the kids ministry. And I'm so grateful for our local church and what they do in our kids. It's just been incredible.
Man, dude, I love those really four simplistic, practical things that parents listening today can begin incorporating in their kids' lives. Number one, there's power in your presence. Number two, there's power in prayer. Number three, be weary of the platforms your kids are on. Number four, surround your kids with the right people, right? Mm-hmm. So four P's. I love that, man. Now, what I want to also ask is there may be somebody listening, Jacob, that is just going through a difficult season in life where they're just discouraged, man, and they feel defeated. They feel like this world would be better off without them. Mm-hmm. But in your book, but also in your ministry, Stay Here, you really help people find healing by including some practical tips and strategies about how they can attack their anxiety and calm their storms, how they can defeat depression and live with a sound mind, how they can overcome intrusive suicidal thoughts and enjoy life, and how they can transform pain, trauma, suicidal thoughts, and addictions into purpose. Jacob, I wanted, as we kind of wrap up our conversation today, to give us just some more insight into the incredible things that you and your brother Jonah are doing through stayhere.live. It's amazing the resources that you're offering. What I'm seeing, online suicide prevention training, offering people the free month of therapy, the Hope Line live chat for people to talk in moments of crisis, branded apparel to broadcast the message. I mean, I love what you're doing, bro. Can you just give our listeners a better understanding of where they can go to find these resources, but also what do you guys have planned for the road ahead?
Yeah. Oh, man, we're so excited about this year. Yeah, you can find, you know, everything that we do on our website, stayhere.live, L-I-V-E, or our Instagram, stayhere.org. You reach 6 million people a month on social media. It's incredible. It's just been a constant growth. It's a great evangelism tool with our Instagram reels and everything we're doing. It's just been really powerful. We've even seen lives saved just from the reels. People are ready to get help. And then, man, besides that, we just love partnering with athletes. We love partnering with influencers on social media. In September last year for World Suicide Prevention Day, we did a video with 57 NFL quarterbacks, and it reached 200 million people on World Suicide Prevention Day. It was incredible. So we're always open for more collaborations like that. So we're looking forward to doing more things like that this year. We're going to work with a couple NBA players this year, and we're just open to whatever else God has in store. But that's been really helpful to reach people.
Jacob, again, my friend, I love your heart, man. I love the mission. I love the vision. And I'm so grateful that God is at the heart of all that you do. Thank you just for all that you're doing, for being on the front lines of this mission to just reach as many hurting and broken people as possible. I would encourage all of our listeners to go and check out, again, stayhere.live. An incredible, incredible mission. Check out all the invaluable resources and use them and share them, because I'm telling you, this message is one of hope, and it's one that needs to go out there for such a time as this. Jacob Cohen, my friend, thank you for your time. Again, thank you for your willingness to join us today. We love you. We appreciate you. I look forward to hopefully some collaborations and partnership with us here at AACC and Stay Here moving forward. I cannot wait to see what God is going to continue to do in and throughout your life, my friend. Jacob, thank you again just for all your time. And to all of our listeners, we come to you each week right here to bring you a word of hope and encouragement and to help strengthen your life, love, and relationships with God and those close to you. Know that God loves you, and he is always there for you. You've been listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family with Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton. We love being a part of your life. For more information, visit timclinton.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.